One of the greatest gifts that you as a congregation give me is the opportunity to participate in your ritual life, in blessing and anointing and walking with you. 2 weeks ago, I had the gift again at communion of putting my hands on the shoulders of each child, calling them by name and telling them that they're beloved. Sometimes I just need hands on my shoulders and someone to look me in the eyes and tell me I am known. And the children do that for me when they look back at me. And you do that for me. And this morning, I want to put my hands on your shoulders and look you in the eye and call you by name. This is a place of blessing. For a moment, see if you can settle deep into yourself and find yourself to be beloved. In this season of Lent, in the desert requires coming face to face with loneliness and death. Like Jesus in the desert of vulnerability, we have to face up to our temptations in life, to our very vulnerabilities, to our longings, to our thirst. The season of Lent invites us to get up close to things of the earth, the ash, the wilderness, the water, the dirt, the mud. Jan Richardson tells us that these days impress upon us what an elemental fellow Jesus was. Jesus spends time in the desert. And at the end of Lent, spoiler alert, while Jesus is on the cross, he doesn't say, "I'm hurting, I'm hungry, I'm in agony." No, he says, "I thirst." We can imagine Jesus' longing, having thirst amid dying, inequity, injustice. Jesus longs. God longs and becomes vulnerable, human form, Jesus' body, that can thirst and die. Mary Oliver. Another morning I wake with thirst for the goodness I do not have. I walk out to the pond, and all the way God has given us such beautiful lessons. Oh Lord, I was never a quick scholar, but sulked and hunched over my books past the hour and the bell. Grant me in your mercy a little more time. Love for the earth and love for you are having such a long conversation in my heart. Who knows what will finally happen or where I will be sent? Yet already I have given a great many things away, expecting to be told to pack nothing except the prayers, which, with this thirst, I am slowly learning. The people were sent out of Egypt quickly with very few things. And they were wandering in the wilderness and were too thirsty. And then their thirst made them quarrel. "I will be standing in front of you," God tells Moses. "I will bring water to those tired, angry, thirsty people. I will save them." I recently learned about an Irish saint, Gobnot, also known as Abigail. She left home to seek refuge. We don't know why she left home, only that she had to leave. And she followed the rich traditions of Irish monks of wandering, of setting sail without oar or rudder to let the currents of love carry them. Is this what God was asking of the Israelites? To let the currents of love carry them? To trust that they would be brought to a place where they could settle and be free? Instead, they are sure they are abandoned. They are sure that they will die of thirst in the wild wilderness. The desert becomes familiar, the place of longing, longing to go back into slavery, Slavery that was known, which is better than this unknown, rudderless sail. They were longing for something to come, longing to be free, longing to be saved. The Israelites were asked to be quiet, to sit and wait, and the breath and the wind, and then the water would come. Here in the Bible, in the breath and the wind and the water, the Spirit is active. Shh. When the well goes dry, listen. Sit. Sit by it, your ear pressed to the rim. Hear the empty and the hollow of it. Let be. Let be. And when you finally hear your breath echo back to you, let it be your first prayer. Where there is breath, there is water somewhere. Breathe. So Gobnat leaves her home with deep longing in her, and the story tells us that an angel appeared to her to instruct her to go on a journey and find a place where 9 white deer would be grazing. And it is there, the angel tells her, there that she will find her true place of resurrection. What an image. To travel, to journey, to seek, and to find your place of resurrection. In Lent, in this time of waiting before Easter, before resurrection, I wonder about that journey, the journey to the place of resurrection, the journey where we may, if we're lucky, find transformation along the way. Along his way, Jesus meets a woman at the well, a nameless woman. A woman who goes to the well every day to draw water, because that is what women do. And we who are readers of the text and holders of the story recognize this scene. It is a scene we have seen before, with Rebecca, picked up by Abram's servant at the well after she offered to water his camels, a sign that she was to marry Isaac. And with Rachel, who saw Jacob at the well and loved her, and worked for 7 years for her. And we see Moses when he leaves Egypt, fleeing after killing a man, and he rests at the well in the land of Midian, and is invited back to the priest's house where he meets Zipporah, who will encourage him when his courage fails to free the slaves. And in the Song of Songs, the beloved is described as a well within paradise. A garden locked is my sister, my bride, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. So, when John puts the Samaritan woman and Jesus together at a well, we are reminded by Episcopal priest Suzanne Guthrie that we, the listeners here, Rebecca and Rachel and Zipporah and the Shulamite beloved, as a gentle chorus behind this conversation. We know that some kind of irrevocable bonding will take place here. Prior to this story of Jesus' visit to Samaria, Jesus' activity has centered on the people and places of official Judaism. When Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well, he meets someone who provides a striking contrast to all that has gone before. When Jesus speaks with Nicodemus last week, or in John 3, he speaks with a male member of the Jewish religious establishment. Here in John 4, he speaks with a female member of an enemy people. Nicodemus has a name. She does not. She is known only by what she is, a foreign woman. This Samaritan woman recognizes Jesus as part of the long line of patriarchs. And she reminds us of these echoes of the past, again in case we missed them, and of her nature as an outsider. And what does Jesus say to her? give me a drink. He says this to this woman, a statement to a Samaritan woman from a Jewish Jesus man who crossed boundaries all along the way. And by the time their exchange ends, she has heard from him about the water he could offer to life, living water, a place of resurrection, of salvation, a thirst that can be quenched through transformation. She sees herself and her people as deeply known. She and Jesus are able to have a theological conversation about the proper place to worship, about this years-old rift between the Jews and the Samaritans. This is the issue that makes them enemies. And she raises it, and he engages it. And by the end, she drops her buckets, leaves the well, and departs, no, not with a husband or a man, but with a message. Come and see. And she races into her village to tell others about this living water and this transformed relationship. And it turns out that that's what others need too, because many come to believe because of her story. She no longer carries a vessel. She becomes a vessel, an evangelist, a disciple, a witness to the Messiah. Here is a place of transformation, of resurrection, of knowing and being deeply known. And it is not only Jesus that knows the woman, but she knows and recognizes him too. It is a relational conversation, one they have together, one where they listen to each other, listen each other into speech, as Nell Morton would say. It is a place of becoming. What is your place of salvation? Where is your place of resurrection? And St. Gobnat traveled and drank at the wells throughout Ireland that became holy places. And she came to the place of Nine Deer, and she settled there and became a healer and keeper of bees. And perhaps sometimes, if we are lucky, we get to our place of resurrection, of our salvation, and then we live there for a while. And then, like this season, we begin again. We walk this journey, we thirst, we seek, we move through Easter to the fires of Pentecost, through ordinary time and Advent, to waiting in the dark and the womb and the earth, to the brightest of lights, and back to the desert. And we always find ourselves back in the desert, grumpy and thirsty and longing for salvation and freedom, and seeking a place of resurrection. Saint Gobnat and Her Place of Resurrection, by Christine Walters Paintier. On the tiny limestone island, an angel buzzes to Gobnat in a dream and disrupts her plans and sends her in search of nine white deer. She wanders for miles across sea and land until at last they appear. And rather than running toward them, she falls gently to the wet ground, sits in silence as light crawls across the sky, lets their long legs approach, their soft, curious noses surround her. Breathing slowly, she slides back into the grass and clover and knows nothing surpasses this moment, a heaven of hooves and dew. Is there a place for each of us where we no longer yearn to be elsewhere, where our work is simply to soften, wait, and pay close attention? She smiles as the bees gather eagerly around her too, wings humming softly as they collect the essence of wildflowers, transmuting labor into gold. When you find yourself in the desert, at the well, may you meet Jesus. May you find yourself after longing with thirst at the water, even if only for a moment. May you find the place of your resurrection.